From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of August, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason, out of the office for the afternoon, so no updates of the commodity markets and prices from Chicago. However, earlier today, I did talk with Jackie Holland. She's the agricultural economist with Farm Futures Magazine. They released their yield survey, a survey of farmers across the nation, and the numbers for corn and soybeans may surprise you. We'll also get an update on the insect pest situation from University of Illinois entomologist Nick Sider and hear all about the weather forecast, too, from Eric Snodgrass at Nutrien Ag Solutions on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by a special guest for the Closing Market Report this afternoon. Jackie Holland is here. She is the grain markets analyst for Farm Futures. That's Farm Futures Magazine and online. Also part of the Farm Progress Companies and Informa Markets, but I'm not quite sure about all the relations. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for being with us. Can you give me kind of a perspective of what those three entities do?
Hi, Todd. Yes, I absolutely can. So Farm Futures is our monthly ag marketing publication, ag marketing and ag business publication, and we are owned by the Farm Progress Group. That is the group that also runs Illinois Farmer, or Prairie Farmer, Wallace's Farmer, American Agriculturalist, to name a few. But they also coordinate the annual Farm Progress shows and Husker Harvest Days. And our Farm Progress company rolls up into another parent company, Informa Markets, and that is an international events company that really has done a great job of giving us the resources we need to provide farmers with some of the best market information that's out there.
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess. Can you tell me a little bit about the things that Informa Markets does?
Yes. So as I mentioned, they are an events company. They run some of the world's biggest trade shows, and with Farm Progress Show being the world's largest outdoor farm show, you know, they've just been a great facilitator for us to, you know, get good exhibitors, to get as many participants as we can, and, you know, just really kind of help tie together the markets of farmers and farm dealers, agricultural providers and retailers for farmers in America.
By the way, the Farm Progress Show, for those of you who just thought about that again, is in Boone, Iowa this year. That's its permanent site there. Every other year, it'll be August 30 through September the 1st. And normally, when we think about Farm Futures and the Farm Progress Show, there is a release. They do a survey of farmers and ask them about the acreage they expect to plant for the next year. And I'm sure that will be coming up. However, Jackie Holland, you have a release this morning where you asked farmers about yields. I'm wondering if you could run down that list with me. Can we start with soybeans? How many farmers did you survey, and what did they tell you about soybean yields?
So we surveyed 692 farmers for this. We're calling it our August survey. We coordinated it through an email questionnaire that we ran from July 13th to August 1st. And really, you know, to our surprise, based on what's going on in the markets right now, farmers were a little bit more optimistic about soybean yields than corn yields. We found that growers expect soybean yields this summer to notch a new record high of 52.5 bushels per acre. If you'll recall, we set records last year with 51.5 bushels per acre. So we were a little bit surprised to see that, considering all the market hype we're currently seeing around this kind of impending heat wave that's really hitting right at peak pod fill season.
If this comes to fruition, what does it mean statistically in the marketplace?
So statistically, it's probably going to add around 90 million bushels of soybeans to USDA's current supply estimates. It'd be a new record high for U.S. soybean production, which if USDA keeps their acreage consistent with the June 30th reports, soybean production should rise to just shy of 4.6 billion bushels. And that is just going to help kind of alleviate some of the tight supply tensions that we've seen in the market that's pushed some of those market prices higher. I calculate out that it's going to take 2023 U.S. Ending soybean stocks from the current ranking of 11th tightest on record to the 20th tightest on record. So, you know, without USDA making any additional demand adjustments, we're just going to see a little bit more liquidity in the soybean market that could introduce some bearish pressure to prices.
Did you see much of a yield difference between the farmers surveyed in the Western Corn Belt as opposed to in the Eastern Corn Belt?
I've ran a few different scenarios on it. I think there, you know, and especially this year, yes, there will be significant yield differences between the West and the East. You know, especially kind of hearing a lot of anecdotal farmer reports. I've heard, you know, just so many good reports about crop conditions in the Eastern Corn Belt and then Illinois and in parts of southern Wisconsin, so and Iowa as well. So, you know, I think if we are going to run into yield problems, we're really going to have to fall back on the gains in those states to offset other losses elsewhere.
By contrast, what you heard from farmers about soybeans was that they expected a really good crop, better than average, in fact. However, for the corn, that number wasn't as high.
Yes, this kind of surprised me too. And I think that really kind of goes back to the fact that maybe the heat that we saw during peak pollination time may have been a little bit more stressful on the crop than we had previously thought. Our farmer respondents indicated that the national corn yield would probably shake out to 174.8 bushels per acre for 2022. Last year, we set a record with 177 bushels per acre. So this would only be the fourth highest yield on record. But, you know, like I said, I think it just kind of reflects a lot of growing market uncertainty, as well as some very real concerns about heat stress during that peak pollination.
Did you do some statistical analysis with the corn numbers as well?
Yes, I did. So that's going to tighten U.S. corn supplies even more than they already are. It would shift the stocks to use ratio. The current level that USDA is projecting for 2022-2023 is 10.1%. My calculations with this new yield estimate change that STU ratio to 8.8%, which would result in the seventh tightest corn supply in U.S. history.
So either way, things stay relatively tight for sure.
Yes. Especially because, you know, for both corn and soybeans, we're really seeing strong demand signals. So that, you know, any extra is going to be snapped up really quickly by the markets. But, you know, fewer bushels, that pain is really going to be felt very strongly by end users as well.
Jackie Holland is with Farm Futures. They just completed a survey of farmers across the nation to see what their expectations for yield might be this fall. It showed a 52.5 bushel to the acre soybean crop and a 174.8 bushel to the acre corn crop. From time to time, we check in with University of Illinois Extension field crops specialist Nick Sider to see what's been happening across the state. Earlier in the year, he was concerned about spider mites. That can be a dry condition issue.
So any time that we have severe drought stress, and especially drought stress with high temperatures in an area, we can get into problems with two-spotted spider mite, and we started to see a few of those issues in small pockets in Champaign County over the last week or so. I actually had a pretty decent pocket of damage even here on the farm. Now, one good thing we've had the last day or so, had some pretty heavy rains come through most, if not all, of the area. And when you have those spider mites out there and you get a 1 or 2 inch rain on top of them, that really helps to slow down or even stop the progression of that mite population. They're very susceptible to diseases. They do much better on plants that are drought stressed. And so there's a few different reasons that those heavy rains will slow them down. And so we're hoping that helps to at least pause our spider mite activity here in East Central Illinois.
Is there concern, given that there's a population that has developed, that they might return later in the season?
Now, if hot and dry conditions return, spider mites could come back and cause a problem again this season. They're really not an insect, but an animal that can cause problems anytime that you have those hot, dry conditions. And so if they do come back, in terms of pesticide, again, this is a mite, not an insect, and so not all insecticides are going to be effective against spider mites. In fact, many pyrethroid insecticides in particular can actually make mite problems worse by eliminating beneficial insects. So if you do have to actually control a mite population, you want to use an organophosphate product like dimethoate, for instance, or a devoted miticide such as Agrimec, or there are several others of these that are out on the market today. Now, in both cases, those products are a little more expensive than the typical insecticides we're used to using in our field crops, but that's what it's going to take to control these, if you have to control them with an insecticide. Again, we're hoping this cool forecast for the next week and some of these heavy rains that we've had will really help to put a stop to mite issues, really in most cases before they had a chance to get going too severely.
Nick, are there other insect pests that you're watching closely and that farmers should be on the lookout for as well?
You know, overall, it's been a fairly slow year for insect pest problems so far. Dry conditions certainly have contributed to that. The few that we're seeing at maybe higher than normal levels so far this year would be grasshoppers, which is something that we expect in dry conditions, and stink bugs. And part of that might be we're seeing more brown marmorated stink bugs in some areas than we have in previous years in East Central Illinois. We haven't gotten into soybeans really potting out yet, so they haven't caused us much trouble in row crops, at least to date, but certainly that's something to look out for, especially as our beans start to move into the potting stages. But overall, relatively mild year for insect pests to this point.
Is there anything else we should be aware of?
So we're having a corn rootworm plot tour and field day at the U of I Agricultural and Biological Engineering Farm next Thursday, August 11th. That's from 9 to noon, 9 in the morning to noon. And the address there is 3603 South Race Street in Urbana. We're going to be taking kind of an informal tour through our plots, discussing what we've seen in terms of rootworm control in our research this year. We'll also be doing some formal presentations beginning at 10 a.m., talking about rootworm control, talking about BT resistance monitoring and our efforts there, and talking about the overall situation in Illinois with pest populations in 2022. Now, if you're interested in coming out to that, we'll have a meal, but we need you to RSVP. And if you would, just send a note to my email. That's NSEITER@illinois.edu. Just to indicate that you're coming and how many people we can expect. So looking forward to seeing some folks there for our corn rootworm plot tour and field day.
Again, that was Nick Sider, Extension field crops entomologist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The corn rootworm plot tour and field day is next Thursday. If you'd like to attend, it runs from 9 a.m. to noon. There is a meal. And Nick would like you to send him an email. That's at NSEITER@illinois.edu for Nick Sider. It's EI, not IE, but EI in his last name, so that he can get you down for a meal 9 a.m. to noon Thursday. The Corn Rootworm Plot Tour and Field Day at the ABE Farm. That's the Agricultural and Biological Engineering Farm on South Ray Street in Urbana. It's just as Urbana ends, not too far from the Yankee Ridge subdivision and north of the very brand new feed mill that the University of Illinois, along with ADM and other sponsors, have put together. You'll want to drive by that. It is really cool. But that ABE farm is on the west side of the road, just at the very edge of Urbana on Ray Street. And you're welcome to join Nick Sider. That, again, is 9 o'clock a.m. next Thursday, August the 11th. Do send him an email to confirm at insider@illinois.edu. Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or look us up in your favorite podcast applications, places like Apple, Google, Spotify, and even the NPR One app. Let's check the weather forecast on this Friday afternoon. Eric Snodgrass is here from Nutrien Ag Solutions. Eric, I hope you're doing better. I know you've been caught up in the whole airline industry cancellation debacle that's happened all summer long. I bet you're tired, but I know you've been watching the weather forecast. Next week looks like it'll be pretty important. What do we know about it?
Well, what we know about it is we have a critical cold front coming through parts of the Western Corn Belt and then really coming through the Eastern Corn Belts over the next few days. And for us in Illinois, I think it's going to be a late weekend, early next week rainfall event. But we're not hurting nearly as bad as the Western Corn Belt is. So I've just been out there. I've driven 80 and 90 and I've been all over the Western Corn Belt. And the crop, if it goes much longer with this heat that keeps coming through, I mean, they've had temperatures well over 100 degrees. If they go much longer with that and without more moisture, we're going to really start to see yield peel back. I mean, it's a critical time of year, and they've been hot and they've been dry. So here's the thing. We're watching this system come through. If the front can get into Iowa and then really be kind of invigorated over Nebraska, it will be kind of a crop-saving rain. If it doesn't, if next Friday when we talk, our main conversation is about how the models overpredicted and the atmosphere underdelivered, I think we're going to be really seeing at staring at an event here that kind of either made or broke the crop, right? And so I've been kind of a bit nervous about it. It's been a heavy forecast to just keep seeing the models flip back and forth and which one's right and which one's wrong. And here we are on a Friday, and this weekend we got brand new long range data that comes out that'll hit the markets early next week.
Well, all of that's pretty interesting. Can you put it back together in some form for me, or do we need to look at tropical areas to think about what the weather is there?
Well, I'll just say this. When you go from Iowa through South Dakota, Nebraska, and southern North Dakota, that particular region's been dry, right? Meanwhile, you come down to St. Louis through southern Illinois over to Kentucky, where we've seen these historic floods, and that area is sitting at 1,000 to 1,500% of normal rainfall. And I drove through it, and the crop could take it. So you have this haves versus have-nots, and the eastern corn belts get more rain today. So it's going to be a situation where we see how much rain falls in the western corn belt. But you're right, the tropics are a big deal because we just got a new update from the National Hurricane Center and Colorado State University. They both kind of dialed back their forecast for the activity this season. They were going for about 150% of normal, and now they're kind of maybe in that 100 to 125% of normal. So active, but not nearly as active as it has been. It's way too dusty and way too dry across the Atlantic for these systems to really get going.
Well, you and I talked about this early on when those forecasts came out that showed a very active hurricane season, and I remember I asked you a question about September, late August, as it relates to the hurricanes and whether they would be able to come up the Mississippi Valley and lay some rainfall on the end of the season for both grain fill and corn, but more importantly for the soybean crop. You said not if it is dry in Tennessee and Kentucky. Clearly, that's not the case.
Nope.
So what does the long range end of August, early September look like in that case?
Well, if we stay with the tropics, I think that any system that maybe we get a homegrown one coming out of maybe parts of, you know, the Gulf or right up there on the southeast coast, I think they're going to make a pretty sharp turn to the right, meaning they're going to exit through the southeast and not come up the gut of the Mississippi. We've just not seen good evidence of systems getting steered that way should they form. I could be wrong, of course, but I think it's going to be more of a southeast thing. So what we see in the models is kind of take that river we bought in 1803, right, the Mississippi, and just split it. On the eastern side, we see better rains going forward, and on the western side, we see less rain going forward. So I still think there's a lot that can happen in August and early September, but at this point, it seems to be the east is robbing the west.
Is this the northwestern flow that has been a predominant part of the weather forecast all summer long that's causing those systems out of the Gulf to make that hard right?
Yeah, and that's part of it. In other words, the ridge that the northwestern flow goes around is blocking the systems should they form from getting in here. So we're just limiting how far to the west and north the Gulf moisture can get. And right now it's just not getting to Nebraska or Texas or Colorado. Well, they had some good monsoonal rains in Colorado, but it's just not getting into the middle part of the country.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Good luck getting home.
Thanks.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Dacable. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Stay with us. Commodity Week is coming up next, right here on Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.